Welcome to Radio Diary. We don't just exist, we live and we experience, and so we all have stories to tell. Brought to you by BBS Radio. Radio Diary brings to you Recovery Diaries. Stories of individuals who stood up for themselves and their loved ones. They believed they could, and so they did. To be human is to rise every time you fall. This week's story is about one such human. In conversation with Bikash Neopani. Stay tuned.
Thank you very much for the opportunity. I am Bikash Neopani from Dagana. But I was just born in Chirang, and I have just studied in Chirang itself. So presently I am working under Chichen Finde Association, namely called CMW, Center for Mind and Wellness, as a peer counselor for more than 18 months with a sobriety of 2 years plus.
Okay, so 2 years, especially when it comes to sobriety, it's a very long time, and we congratulate you on that. So, before knowing a person, the person that is you right now, we have to know your past also. So how would you say your childhood was like? And, you know, Jen, can you just tell us about that, your childhood?
Although I have enjoyed a lot on my young age, I was just born in a village. Mm-hmm. Whatever, there is more of difficulties regarding school, everything. But in between, I have just coped up with friends, like on enjoying and studying together. But when it comes to my addiction, it was from my early age. I have just started, like in winter, they will go for a marriage party, and sometime we'll hang out with friends. And when I knew right now, I was started using alcohol from my early age of 8 years. That time, I was just occasionally, and slowly, I have just increased my dose.
Okay, so why would you say you increased your dose? Like, I've heard that addiction is definitely not easy. Everyone tries, but, you know, being hooked, it takes a lot. So what did it take you? Why did you become addicted?
Now, when I think right now, I didn't know how to enjoy. Mm-hmm. With a low self-esteem, and most probably when I go to party, I don't know how to dance. Mm-hmm. Because I'll not get a pop. So once I have tried in Chirang itself, in marriage party, when my friends encouraged me that I'll get more pop and mm-hmm. I'll just dance, from that time itself, I was hooked because right. because I liked the taste mm-hmm. of alcohol. And slowly, even in the schools, I have just tried in interval, lunch break. And when I reached to class 6, I thought alcohol is not good. So I have just substituted with the marijuana for 3 years. So when I tried for 3 years, I feel myself that I am getting weak day by day. And even I have stopped playing games and sports because I could not meet the stamina. Mm-hmm. So from class 8, I have again stopped. Then the life began in the circle of addiction. And when I reached class 10, I have just thought that I can take, but I can control it. So in this way, in this pattern of use, I just continued. When I reached class 12, then it increased the quantity due to self problem, like anger issue. Because of that, sometimes I used to get a blackout. Mm-hmm. And that time, I didn't know what I'm doing itself. So when I completed class 12, I got multiple betrayal mm-hmm. from the girls, usually whom I thought that I can spend my whole life. Some just complete their college. And when they got the direction, they have changed the plan. And because of that, I got too much into it. I thought I will stop it. But because of my emotion, I could not control myself.
So it was also, you know, lack of confidence that you felt, that you were hooked to alcohol first, and then you moved on to marijuana. Mm. I think it was mostly because of your own feelings, right?
Yes.
Okay. That's understandable. That's part of being human, I guess. And you know, everyone in recovery probably has that one moment or a series of moments that make them realize that they are addicted and that they need to do something about it, that they can't stop when they want. So when and how did it happen for you? Is there one moment that you would like to describe?
That's after class 12, I didn't have my ID card, CID card. So mm-hmm. I thought I will not get any opportunity in playing sports and being a sportsman. So I will lose so many opportunities mm-hmm. in the field of sports, especially volleyball. So I thought that it is better if I can run my own business. Usually people go for studies, and when they come and when they get a job, it will take more than 5 years. Mm-hmm. So I thought in 5 years, I'll get myself settled. So I've started business giving business coaching training. So in between there was a lockdown, so I have to be in the home itself. That time I was in relation, so I have shown everything with my parents. Mm-hmm. But in between, I don't know what's happened. It's all got collapsed. So from that time, I again started business at home. And the idea that I had and my father, it could not meet. He just used to tell that I have to do what he supposed to do, supposed to think. So I just told them that if I supposed to do what you are doing, then even my child used to do what I supposed to do. That means we are lagging one generation behind, mm-hmm. Even in technology. So from that time, I had a multiple problem. Like visual, it was very difficult. Mm-hmm. At the same time, it happened. So from that time, I have increased using alcohol regularly. It becomes regular. Then after that, I had multiple accidents and vehicle accident. So from that time, I could not adjust to my father. So I have even hit him. So from that time, I thought even in doing my business, I used to tell people not to drink. It's not good. And still they are better. They are not using. So if I still use it, there is no benefit for me.
Mm-hmm.
That means I have not learned anything. I thought that way. So I have just discussed with my sister, elder sister, and I just took this path of recovery.
So it seems like you didn't have a good relationship with your father.
Mm.
So how is it right now? Are you good with him now?
Still, I talk only occasionally when my dad calls.
Mm-hmm.
Usually I have never called him. Because it's a guilt. Now when I realize it's become a little difficult. Though I care them. And the other thing is that I don't know how to show them the love and care. But I know that I love her, love them. I know only this much.
So if the world is ending, and if you were to, tell your father you love him, how would you say it?
In this case, I'll just say to them that whatever my past is gone. Now, it's same like the beginning a new life, which means it's a new birth to me. So though I was almost in 25 plus in the age,
mm-hmm.
I was always into negative.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was born, I was positive. When I reached in this age, I was in depth.
Yeah.
So I thought that if I start my new beginning, and to say that to my father that I still love them, first priority I have given to the people that in my village,
mm-hmm.
in my neighbors, that if I can help them, making them clean and taking them to the treatment center, that's my goal. And that's indirectly how I say that, Father, I still love you.
That's very nice. So 2 years, you said you have been in recovery for 2 years. For us, it seems like a short time, but I know for a fact that for you, it must have been a long and very difficult journey. And, relapse is also very common. So was it common for you?
In my case, I have never looked at people who have stayed clean for 10 years, 15 mm-hmm. years, 20 years. I just kept my target and a goal set that how much ever recovery year they spend, or they stay, but for me, there is no word called relapse.
Mm-hmm.
Because whatever I have done, it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
Now I have started my new beginning, so till I breathe for my last, I'll be sober.
Okay, so you're starting your new journey with a lot of positivity and strength.
Yes.
And you while talking about your past, you are also not letting it define you. So that's very wonderful to know. And, you said that you work as a peer counselor.
Yes.
So as a counselor, how do you maintain your boundaries between your personal experience and your role as a counselor? Does it affect you emotionally sometimes, talking to people who have been through the same emotions, same issues that you did?
So in part of being a counselor, some problems are similar to mine. Before, I just used to say, why only me?
Yeah.
Everything is coming only for me.
Mm.
Why can't we share? I thought that way. But in treatment, there are many clients. More than 15% client I have handled till now. And still I am having 5-6% client. So in this case, some are having similar problems. So they like mine. So it's being very easy to handle it.
Mm-hmm.
And so far, in my case that I have handled, more than 99%, they are sober still.
And any strategies that you found particularly effective in supporting clients through the recovery process?
In this case, there are two types of people. Usually, one who are very qualified and some doesn't know how to read and write, which means that they are illiterate. So in this case, for the illiterate, we can just go for the system that we follow, speech regulation, mindfulness. We mostly we practice this way.
Mm-hmm.
And for those who can read and write, we'll go for like thought restructuring.
Mm-hmm.
Before what they think. Okay, example, certain circumstances come to them, they'll just decide at one, okay, I want to do like this. And when they take that decision, their decision will be always wrong, because their mind is set with the negativity. It's clouded.
Yeah.
Which means we justly scientifically also proven that in a day, we'll have more than 80,000 thoughts. So among them, they can't decide what is good.
Mm-hmm.
But for them, they are doing the best. So in this case, we can just let them restructure the thought. We can give more thoughts. We can just balance.
Mm-hmm.
Which can it will be better for them to opt. In this way, we can do it.
All right. And you probably must have heard a lot of different stories of addiction. So hearing them, what do you think is the root of addiction?
Till now, the client that I have done the assessment, that I have met with them and just listened to their stories, is all about ACEs, adverse childhood experience. The childhood experience when they are below 18 years old. So because of the discrimination by the friends, society, community, and when they don't meet their basic needs, especially needs and wants, we'll have more wants when we are young. So in that way, they will build up different mindset. And if they are bullied in the younger age, when they grow up, they will be too much stubborn, because they don't want someone to control them. And if they are again controlled by someone else, they are not being able to do what they enjoy. So they will be like this. So what I can say is that it's not their fault. Addiction is not their fault, but it's the good parenting. But good parenting can
reverse it.
Yes. If there's good parenting, we can make them better.
Parenting is very important.
Yes.
All right. And, while handling triggers, how do you handle triggers or, difficult emotions that may arise when working with clients who are, struggling with similar issues that you faced?
In my own case, firstly, I'll tell you about myself.
Okay.
For me, I'll just say, whatever the problem comes, it's not part of my duty. It will come, it will go, but it should not affect me, and that I'll fall.
All right, and what advice would you give to the past you who's struggling with all these feelings that you described of anger, lowest self-esteem and everything? What would you say to yourself?
In this case, I'll just say that whatever I did, it was only for the self. That means I was totally selfish. Because I want to have everything for myself, which means the first priority. Then only the whatever left with me, I want to give to others. That was me before. Because of this mindset, I have lost all my friends, family, relatives, everything. Then came my friend called alcohol, which means because of our own personality, which we call addictive personality. I was quite carried by that.
But alcohol is more your foe than friend, right? It turned towards you and it destroyed you somehow. But
yes.
Here you are back again. You're
yes.
strong.
From old you, which means myself in the past, I can say that a little late being getting into rehabilitation treatment. Because if I have reached to treatment center when I was below 18 years, I would have not lost anything. Presently, I don't have anything to show them.
Okay, but better late than never. You are doing a noble job. You're helping others who are in need of the same strength that you need. About your job as a peer counselor, what do you think is the most rewarding about it?
It's self-satisfaction. Usually some client comes and say, sir, thank you very much for changing my life. When they feel like this, I'm not getting much satisfaction. But when we hear that, okay, he's still sober, he's still clean, now he's doing better. When we hear about them, we are getting satisfied.
To all the people who are suffering with addiction right now, what would you say to them? Any word of advice?
Firstly, I'll just tell them, or I can just share what I have learned. Don't opt for the shortcuts, which we call short-term happiness. In short-term happiness, we'll make everything worse. To achieve something in the short period, we'll even sacrifice our friends, family, everything. We don't even care about our emotions. So when we don't achieve that, we'll feel low. And when we feel low, we'll substitute or we'll have a friend call alcohol and drugs. Because if we think that, okay, I need a company, we have already destroyed because we became a selfish at time. So whatever comes in your life, just let it go with a good target and long-term vision. In my treatment also, I have learned that We know we are suffering. Life is full of suffering. But if you know you are suffering, you will suffer less. Because if you know you are suffering, we'll just know, okay, now I'm suffering. Let them happen. Now, next step, I don't have to suffer. And for that, we have to create a positive mindset with a simple living. In school days, we have learned that basic needs and basic wants. But in present life, we are just going after the wants and we have forgot the needs. That's why we are always after wants, so that we are creating ourselves into problem. So in this case, we will get mandatory lives. When it's mandatory lives, it is very easy to be to get into physical relapse.
Okay, I just came to know there are two types of relapses, mental and physical relapse, right? Right, that's yes. Nice to know. So being a human, it's normal to have all these emotions, all positive or negative emotions.
Yes.
So now that you are sober, how do you manage these emotions so that you would keep your mindset strong and, you know, you won't relapse?
Okay, for this, every morning, before also in the morning or evening, although I used to go to Lakhang
mm-hmm.
and in Mandir, that is called in Hindu, I used to go and pray to the God. But before I reached the treatment, I think that there is no God. Because these are just the posters, and how can I trust them? Because the problems are again coming to me. That means there is no God. If there is a God, they will see, they will judge. And in every suffering that we are facing will be distributed. Because I am also praying the same like the other. So in this case, I thought, if I can make one person smile a day, that's my achievement. I thought that way, and I am doing that way. So before I came to treatment, the people at my society, I don't like it. Because in my worst day, they have not supported me. They have given me the counseling, little by little advice. But it doesn't work. Because we are already into the addiction, and when their advice is not powerful, or when their advice is not meeting my interest or urge of using the alcohol, where the advice should be just a waste.
Okay, so you felt misunderstood by
yes.
them.
That time I knew, okay, I am using my own money. I know what is good or what is bad. And I just flow. In this way, I was just lost everything.
Okay. And lastly, coming to the last question, to show that, you know, there's no looking back and only looking forward, what do you envision your tomorrow to be?
Before, firstly, I just go for people.
Mm-hmm.
I expected that I will have a beautiful car, beautiful house, beautiful wife. I wanted to have a one beautiful family,
mm-hmm.
whereby I don't have to beg from anyone. In times, I thought that I can help someone else, especially even in my addiction, active addiction. I used to have a feeling of sympathy.
Mm-hmm.
I did that way. So in the present, I don't need much thing. Even if I have one small car, small family, but with a peace of mind and joy. That's my life that I expect hereafter.
All right, that's all that matters.
Yes.
All right, thank you very much for being, you know, brave enough to share your story on Radio Diary.
Thank you.
We truly appreciate that. Thank you, and we wish you more years of sobriety.
Yes.
So that was the recovery diary of Bikash Niyupani. I will be back next week with another human being, another story, only on BBS Radio FM 88.1, 93 and 96 FM. Till then, goodbye.